invite Dr. Cheryl Edinburgh to speak with your organization. Dr. Edinburgh, a licensed professional counseling supervisor, licensed chemical dependency counselor, and licensed certified professional midwife. Let's talk about everything: wellness, anxiety, depression, relationships, and maternal wellness. When people do not know where to turn for help, this is an open door. There is no judgment. The decisions we make affect all areas of our lives and careers. We all have problems. We all can be helped. We all can live a healthy life. Dr. Edinburgh provides non-judgmental guidance so you can operate out of your own strength. She is here to empower. Dr. Edinburgh can help your organization with mental and maternal wellness and empowerment. The biggest gift you can give is life. Listen to Elevate with Dr. Cheryl Edinburgh.
Hello and welcome. I am Dr. Cheryl Edinburgh with Elevate. And on today I have Leanne Hilgers on the show with me. And we're going to just discuss my story on today. Welcome, Leanne.
I am so happy to be here with you. Dr. Edinburgh, you have such an amazing story to tell. And I've just been so privileged to have the chance to get to know you. Sincerely.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I can't wait
to talk to you.
Thank you. I can't wait
to share your story with the world.
Thank you. Well, I just want to start out by sharing that I am the oldest of three children. Mm-hmm. We were truly born to poverty. And we went through a lot of struggles growing up. At the age of 16 years old, going into 17, I actually witnessed my father commit suicide in front of me. He shot himself in the head. And I know this is a delicate subject, but it is a subject that needs to be talked about because I am a survivor of suicide. And the aftermath of that had a huge, profound impact upon my life. What I did find myself doing is struggling with my own suicidal ideations. And when I realized that, I knew I needed help. And after seeking help and looking for individuals that looked like me, I just couldn't find anything in anyone. And so going back to school afforded me the opportunity to be in a system where there were different areas of career paths. And I chose the counseling path. On that path, I realized I had a lot of unresolved trauma. I had a lot of unmet emotions that I had been stuffing down and creating some depression. I also realized that I was in this panic state of anxiety. And so as I moved through my educational career, I decided to become a licensed counselor. And in so doing, I met amazing clients who I realized needed more than just talk therapy. And so with that, I decided to start focusing not just on the mind, but on the body and the spirit. So I became a certified yoga instructor. I am also a licensed massage therapist. And while working in this business and working with couples, I am now a licensed midwife. And so that's a little bit about me, a little bit about my story and how I got to where I am today. Yeah, that's me.
Dr. Edinburgh, you are so incredibly qualified. You have so many qualifications and so much, not only life experience, but so much education. Mm-hmm. So, and you just dig in, you're a lifelong mm-hmm. learner, you dig in, you do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. to help people. And that is one of the reasons why we sought after you and why our talent scouts found you and why we just had to bring your story to the world and your skills and your help to the world. Because you were talking about suicide and you had mentioned that people don't talk about mm-hmm. it, or you had kind of referred to that. You didn't specifically mm-hmm. say it, but I'm in agreement with you. People don't talk about it. They don't know the signs to watch for. Mm-hmm. They don't know the relatives, the friends, they don't know the signs to watch for. The people who are going through it don't know that there's any help. Mm-hmm. They don't know that there's alternatives. Can you tell us a little bit? And people people, and then when something happens, nobody can talk about it because we can't talk about it. Because generally, especially in the media, they didn't want anybody talking about it because they didn't want to publicize it and make it seem like an option. But it is happening all the time, and we're losing a lot of our young people. I've heard that young males are the having the highest increase in suicide rates right now. And, you know, young girls have always had high suicide rates. This needs to stop. We're losing beautiful people.
Absolutely.
So can you help us? Can you help us a little bit with some of your knowledge and your training? How can we start talking about this?
Absolutely. I think we're doing a great job right now. A lot of people who struggle with suicide attempts or fulfill suicide, many of them suffer in silence, you know? And it's sad to realize that people suffer in silence, and not just that, but the pain they feel is so great that they have feel like they have no other option but to end their lives. And that's a very desperate space to be in, you know? And I tell people all the time, don't suffer in silence. A lot of times there's a lot of guilt and shame, right? Whether it be the person who committed the suicide or the loved ones left behind to pick up the pieces. And so on the side of the person who is struggling so hard, having such a rough time at life, on that side, talking to people who have attempted, they do feel misunderstood. They do feel like people aren't seeing the signs or listening and understanding them. And then some people just don't say anything.
Do you think they feel alone, like they can't talk to somebody, or they're embarrassed because they're having problems?
Absolutely. Again, guilt and shame. Guilt says I've done something wrong. Shame says I am something wrong. And sometimes people can't fight out of that mindset. And when that's the case, they kind of are internal with it all. And so it's a secret, you know, it all happens right in front of us without us even knowing it. You know, my dad, he was a very happy, outgoing, vibrant man. You know, there was no signs. Now, there were things I found out later as an adult, and that was that he was very sick, to the point where he had gotten to a place where he can only eat applesauce. And to be quite honest with you, I don't remember my dad eating in front of me a whole lot, you know? But again, I was a child and I didn't know about his illness. And obviously, I've gotten to a place within myself where I've accepted that that pain was so great for him that even his love for me wasn't enough to sustain him. And that had to be a great pain.
Like you said, you were a child, and a lot of us just don't know. We know something's wrong. Like you said, you saw that he wasn't eating, or, you know, I mean, like, you were a child, but maybe your family member saw he wasn't eating, but they didn't know that was a sign of anything, that was a sign of depression or a sign of suicide. Like, we're all very naive when it comes to this because we don't know the signs. We don't know what to watch for. That was really important. I think, you know, by telling that to people, you maybe just saved a bunch of lives.
Right. Well, and then sometimes you do have signs. People will start withdrawing, right? Isolating themselves. They'll start giving things away. They'll start talking about their wheels. So those are signs, right? They'll start talking about how things should be when they're not here. So there are some signs, right? But I think on the flip side of that, signs or not, it's important for us as a people to reconnect to one another. I think that we are so disconnected with our lives. Like, we go to work to make, you know, ends meet. We go to games for our children. But when do we sit down as a family and just check in with each other? You know, I know once my children were born, they didn't like it, but we would have what I would call family town hall meetings once a week, in which we sat together at a table And we called it no holds barred, which means that you can say whatever's there for you. So if you're angry, you can let it out. If you're sad and disappointed, you have an opportunity to share that. And as a family, we get to heal together. So I really think that what I learned from that situation is to always be engaged with my family members, to always connect with where they are emotionally, mentally, and physically.
That is so amazing. And most people don't do that. And what right. did we, you know, we just went through the whole COVID thing where we were forced to live in isolation. And a lot mm-hmm. of people were by themselves through that. Mm-hmm. They were alone physically mm-hmm. now. Before they mm-hmm. may have felt alone, but now they're alone physically. And we were just not meant Absolutely. To live like that.
Absolutely. And even for the ones who weren't alone physically, like they had their family members in the space with them. I think that going into COVID, there was no blueprint, right? There was no one to say, hey, make sure that you're taking care of yourself on an individual level, as well as collectively, because you have some people that have never been in the home as much as they had been that are now surrounded by everything that the home's responsibilities are, paying the bills, the children, trying to figure out how to keep the children quiet while you're working, you know, because they weren't in school either. And so even from COVID, there was a lot of suicides. There was a lot of abuse that came to the forefront. Unfortunately, there were a lot of divorces, right? Again, because you're forcing people to be in spaces with each other that sometimes haven't taken the time to really know one another. And so they're forced to really take a look at their family units, right? And decide whether or not this is all that I signed up for or not. But at any rate, even with that, coming out of COVID, we had no blueprint. And I think people struggle still, right? They struggle still on how to reconnect and come together.
There was no escaping the anxiety during that time. And now I think we don't know how to escape the anxiety anymore. The anxiety is constant. Mm-hmm. We're still working from home, which I love, by the way. I've always worked from home. but there's no escaping that. There's no escaping the mm-hmm. people don't let me rephrase that. There are ways to escape the anxiety, but people are if their anxiety is in the home, they're around it all the time. Mm-hmm. And they need mm-hmm. to take steps to put a valve on their stress. And to connect, like you say, and to give themselves breaks and take time for themselves.
Absolutely. And again, mind, body, spirit, we can never give out what we do not have. So if we cannot find that peace within ourselves, how are we supposed to extend that to others, right? So let's talk about elevating. So the things that I think is important about being able to live the kind of life you want to live and give off those things you need to give off is first making sure you have it yourself. So what are the things that you need to do to take care of self, right? Because if we take care of self, it gives us the ability to then take care of others, right? And to take care of things. But until we do that, we cannot pour from an empty cup, right? And so I found that during COVID, I continued my self-care things, right? I continued meditation, right? I continued journaling. I continued doing my yoga practices. I continued connecting with family members, whether that's via Skype, Zoom, phone calls. And then even after COVID and everything starts opening back up, my new normal is to do exactly what I did pre-COVID. And that's to reach out and say, hey, let's connect. Let's grab brunch. Let's grab breakfast. Tomorrow, my family's coming over and I'm cooking us a beautiful brunch for dinner. And I'm excited about that, right? The key is I won't be able to pour those things out if I hadn't been filling my cup.
That's amazing.
My family did family game night over Zoom,
mm-hmm.
and we played bingo with my mom over
Beautiful.
Zoom or Skype or something mm-hmm. like that for the first while. But you know, like COVID went on for a little while. Thank you for giving us all this, these very helpful pieces of advice. Let's go back now. So you were growing up in a situation where your father committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a good situation. And somehow you ended up as Dr. Cheryl Edinburgh with all of these skills. Can you tell us, you said you were looking for people who look like you, who were like you. We're all searching for somebody that we have things in common with. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, and that's who we connect with best, is people we feel like that we have things in common with. Can you tell us how did you get from that spot to becoming who you are?
Through a lot of pain. Through a lot of pain, through a lot of bad decisions. I was a teen mom, and I think that is the saving grace, because I had something more to live for than just myself. And I also didn't want to repeat the life cycle that I experienced. I didn't want my child to have to wonder where he would get food from, right? I didn't want my child to be exposed to verbal, physical, or even sexual abuse. And so I realized that my childhood does not have to be, I don't have to be a product of my childhood, you know, that I can make a difference and I can change. I've never been a woe is me type of person, even though I felt like things were constantly happening. I've always been a, okay, now what? Life dealt you a bad hand, now what, right? I mean, it's cliche to say, what do you do with lemons? You make lemonade, right? However, it does apply to life. What do you do when you're faced with all of these challenges and obstacles? You figure out how to deal with it. You figure out how to move forward. And so I've always been solution focused in my mindset. And that's also how I am in my practice with my clients. It's like, listen, you've been dealt this. Let's go ahead and sit in it for a minute. Let's experience how it feels. And then ask yourself, what do you need to move past this? What do you need to propel yourself to where you want to be? And so in all honesty, it landed me in a very bad first marriage, in which I experienced more emotional, verbal, mental, and physical abuse. And then I was blessed to meet my wonderful husband. We're getting ready to celebrate 25 years of being married.
Congratulations.
But when I met him, thank you, best friend. So what I found when I was with him is a safe space, a space to truly be myself, vulnerably myself. And he afforded me many opportunities. And one of them was to do something that I've always wanted to do, and that was to finish school. I know in that academic arena, I was able to see the true strength and power that I possessed as an overcomer, because I've been overcoming since a child.
Let me just stay with that for a minute, because, you know, I'm a professor
mm-hmm.
and I'm a huge advocate of lifelong learning, whatever, however that looks for you, because everybody learns differently. So it might not
Absolutely.
Be me in school, but it might, you know, however people learn, if they're watching a video, if they're doing whatever it is they do, tell me about, let's say in that, how did the education empower you?
The education challenged me to truly accept different limitations, as well as accept the greatness I possessed within myself. It gave me the time to actually have time away from work, away from family, and to actually sit down with myself and ask myself, what do I want? What am I enjoying? What am I experiencing? And I was able to start being more focused on I, you know? And then so all of the negativity that I thought about myself, I was able to say, I am smart. I am pretty. I am great. I am knowledgeable. I am honest. I am talented. I am skilled. I am a loving person, and I deserve love, right? I am happy. I do have joy. When I started to realize who I was and fill my cup up and fill myself up, I was then able to pour out into other people. I was able to pour out joy and love and peace and understanding and give over gifts, you know? But first, I had to fill my cup. And so being in the academic spaces allowed me to remove all the hats that I wore.
That's amazing.
And just be.
That's amazing.
Right?
I always tell my new students, when I get a class of new college students, that they can do this. And I warn them that a couple weeks in, mm-hmm. they're going to feel like they can't do it. But, you know, when they start getting grades back or the stress hits, but they can do it.
Absolutely.
Or they wouldn't be there. And also, I make them put their cell phones away sometimes, because there is nothing more important going on in their lives than what is going on in that room. Now, if they have an emergency, it's different, right? But we only get so many opportunities in life to do something that's just for ourselves. And getting an education is just, mm-hmm. it's for your family. You're providing mm-hmm. for your family and everything, but it's for you. It's for you. And you get to put it into
Absolutely.
Yourself. And that's rare in this. Because, you know, we get busy with work and we're taking care of everybody else. Getting an education
Absolutely.
Is taking care of you and pouring into you.
And again, I do believe that it also pours into others, because for me, in my family, I was the first one to go to college, right? And to get this degree. I wanted to show my children that you can do it. And college stretched me and it challenged me and it prepared me to be on this side of things, because now it's like, is there anything I cannot do if I really put my mind to it? The body will only follow where the mind will take it, you know? And so for me, there's no limitation. School taught me that there's no limitation, right? It stretched me. It challenged me. I had never been there before, and it was very scary, right?
It's intimidating when you first
it
start.
Is.
And that's why
it
I
is.
Say you can do this or you wouldn't be here.
But it does require you showing up. It does require you putting
yes.
in effort. It does require you doing your part.
We talk about the people who graduate aren't necessarily the most brilliant people in the world. They're just the most stubborn.
I can agree with that, and I can attest to that, because being a licensed professional counselor and being a licensed midwife, I've learned that theoretically you can get all the book knowledge you want, but it's life that really teaches the real lessons, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I like to travel, is mm-hmm. because, you know, you can learn about places in the book. It is not the same as being there. Dr. Edinburgh, one of the things that really interests me is I know that you came from a bad situation. Grew up in a bad situation, a bad family situation, a bad home situation. And yet some switch flicked in your mind and you realized you could be better, you could have a better life, do better. Life could be better. What was that switch? How did you get from that spot to where you are now?
Well, let me just say, I do remember as a child going through things and thinking this isn't normal and that I wouldn't do things this way. But of course, when it's innate, when you're around it all the time, it's going to show up in your life. And so I started doing things that I saw. And I remember one morning being in a very dark, dark space. So heavy, so weighted. Suicidal ideations going through my mind. And all I remember thinking is, man, it would be really nice not to feel this, just to not be, right? And I remember flashes of times with my husband, and with my children, in which we were happy and enjoying life. And something in me was like, this is what you said you would want, the joy, the peace, the happiness. And so at that point, I decided to embrace life. You know, I didn't know what healthy and whole looked like. I didn't have a roadmap, but I decided that I wanted to start creating it for myself, right? And so I just will myself to get up, dust myself off, start having the family experiences that I wanted to have with my children, go back to school. You know, my husband afforded me the ability to do so. And so I worked full time. I went back to school. I started feeling alive. I started feeling like I was putting myself into interest. I started exercising. And the byproduct of that was looking amazing. And that felt great. And I just started smiling from the inside out. It was a journey.
You said something really important. You didn't know what healthy and whole looked like. I think that's a huge problem. We know something's wrong, but we don't know what the right looks like. And you just described it for us, which was amazing. And I really, one of the things that I really appreciate about you is how real you are. I had these dark thoughts. I felt guilty. I felt ashamed. I felt depressed. I felt that a lot of people won't acknowledge. Everybody has problems. And everybody goes through this at some point. Everybody feels down at some point. Everybody's angry or frustrated or in pain at some point in their life. And some people live there and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know what the good looks like.
Absolutely. And you know, and here's the thing, I said it earlier. The problem is we suffer in silence. The reason why I can share and be as vulnerable as I am is because I know the key to my authenticity, truly who I am, is through my vulnerability. And if I cannot be vulnerable, how am I being authentic? If I cannot speak my truth, how do I live it? How do I walk in it? So for me, it is easy to be honest about where I've been because one, we all have problems. We all have been there, but not talking about them, hiding behind them, that does nothing for moving through them. You put it out there for yourself, you take a look at it, and you decide how you want to move through it. We're all faced with hards, right? I tell people all the time, there's two hards. There's a hard of me showing up today for the show or sleeping in. Which hard profits me, right? So every day is the hard of me deciding to get up and run a business, which is extremely difficult, or just saying, forget it, let me do a 9-to-5. I have to pick my hard, right? And I pick the hard that feeds me, my mind, my spirit, and my body, you know?
If you don't do the hard that feeds you, 5 years, 10 years mm-hmm. from now, you're still going to be in the same spot. So it's like going to school. A lot of people go to school in their 50s, and they're like, well, you know, why would I go to school, back to school in my 40s or 50s or, you know, but 3-4 years from now, you're still going to be in the same spot that you were, or you could choose to go to school or start your business mm-hmm. or start exercising or mm-hmm. eating healthy or whatever it is, take mm-hmm. yoga, whatever it is that is, but you're still going to be you, but now you can have that. And your life's going to be so much better.
If that's the direction you're going in, choose your hard. You know, when I was going to school, it was hard. I worked a full-time job. I left there and I went directly to school, sometimes getting home at 10, 11 o'clock at night, right? That was hard. That was hard. But it wasn't as hard as it was having doors slammed in my face and ceilings like on top of my head, right? So I chose that hard for a minute to have what I wanted on this side of thing, right? It's sacrifice, no matter what.
Life is hard no matter what, because life is going to be difficult no matter what. So which difficulty do you want? The one that gives you more opportunity or gives you the life that you want, however that looks for
absolutely.
You. Or or choosing, you know, to, it's going to be hard either way.
No matter what.
So you obviously had a lot of anxiety to deal with.
Absolutely.
You made a comment that mm-hmm. you needed more than talk therapy. And you also talked about unacknowledged yes. emotions
yes.
that you were going
yes.
through.
And so when I talk about needing more than talk therapy, I remember after I found out that I had trauma, right? And trauma gets locked in the body. I would have aches, knots, and all that would act up, and then I would have tears, but I wouldn't have the emotional words to go with it. And a lot of that was because I was scared to look at it. I was scared to face it. And when I was able to be in a space with a therapist to talk through those things, it helped me to start processing. But I realized, like, there was issues trapped in my tissues. And that's how I became a yoga therapist. It was suggested to me to go and take a yoga therapy class. But instead, the impulsivity in me went and took yoga teacher training, which was amazing because it forced me to sit in spaces emotionally that I would not have done voluntarily. Right. And so I found myself in these spaces with people who were doing 15-minute meditations. And I'm looking around at them thinking, are y'all really closing your eyes and sitting still for 15 minutes? Which felt like hours for me, right? But it was in that space that I met myself, my true self, my hurt self, my disappointed self, my fragile self, my broken self, my hurting self, and my desire to heal self. All those people were there dancing around. And I was like, oh my goodness, it felt so overwhelming. But I started to compartmentalize them. And as I put them in compartments, I slowly started opening doors and dealing with each one of them accordingly.
What does that mean? You started to compartmentalize these parts of yourself. What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. So the hurt. She had a room of her own. The disappointment. She had a room mm-hmm. of her own. Right? Guilt, shame, sadness, fear, pain. And then my girl that pulled me out, the one who wanted more, she had a compartment that always opened up each time I would view each one of these areas. And she would say, yes, you were hurt, but yes, you were disappointed. What now? Yes, you were overwhelmed. What does it need to look like for you? What do you need to move away from all of these uncomfortable emotions? How do you find your joy? Where does your peace reside? Do you need to set healthy boundaries? It's going to be uncomfortable. It's okay. This doesn't feel good physically, but mentally it's making you strong. Do it anyway. It's scary. Do it anyway.
Pick your heart.
Absolutely. Pick your heart. Do you stay in this or do you elevate? Pick your heart. Hence, Elevate with Dr. Cheryl.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
You have an amazing quote that we actually used in the show description. And mm-hmm. tell me, because I don't want to misquote you, but you know about the system that was designed to heal. Please, can you say that mm-hmm. again?
The system that was designed to heal us is the very system that is harming us. And when I made that quote, I talk about that because I am a big proponent of mental and maternal wellness. And I've seen so much damage done on both sides, right? And how do I know it's being done? Because the people that are hurt, they're coming to me. I'm hearing the stories about systemic disparities and racism and destruction, literally. And I've experienced it myself, especially as I elevate, as I continue to elevate, I experience more of it, right? Which also lets me see how people tend to like just give up and just lay down and let things happen. But I've learned that you choose your heart and you have to fight these injustices. And I'm here to fight them. I'm here to help my clients fight them. And I'm here to help them heal from them.
How can they get help from you? How can they find help in their own lives?
Absolutely. When it comes to mental and maternal health, you guys can reach out to the Tree of Life Birth Counseling and Wellness Center or the nonprofit Completely Fit, a Healthy Lifestyle, in which we do take out our time to work with people on being them their best selves, whether it's mentally, physically, or emotionally in those areas. I have a team that works to make sure that families are empowered, right? That they know that they have the ability, again, to choose their heart and to meet them at whatever level they're at, right? Process, figure out what they want, how they want it, and to slowly move into these places of greatness for themselves. It's available. It's available.
You repeated, it's available. We talked earlier that when you're going through something, you always feel, you often feel alone, you feel hopeless, you feel like nobody can help you. So you, I'm glad you repeated mm-hmm. that. It's available. Tell them again how to get, what is the name? Tree of Life.
So listen, no one has to suffer in silence, right? So we are available. The Tree of Life Birth Counseling and Wellness Center, the nonprofit Completely Fit, a Healthy Lifestyle, and I can be reached at 214-912-2614. We are available.
Can you repeat?
Absolutely. 214-912-2614.
It's not only birthing center, it's a wellness center. You do yoga, you do all sorts of stuff there, counseling. Tell us what your business does.
Absolutely. So we have mental and behavioral health. We have licensed professional counselors. I'm a licensed professional counselor supervisor. So I also have learned how to pay it forward. So as a licensed professional counselor supervisor, I reach back. So for interns that are looking for placement or for supervision, I'm available for that, as well as taking care of clients that are just coming seeking services, right? As a licensed midwife, I'm also a preceptor. Again, I've had some really tough experiences moving and elevating that I don't want people to have to face that. They shouldn't have to make this world a better place. Why create obstacles? So as a preceptor, I am reaching back and grabbing those and pulling them forward. And so if they need help on their apprenticeship, I'm available for that. I also am a yoga therapist. This is where Zen just incorporates the space. And so I do yoga therapy with clients. And we also, on the midwifery side, we do prenatal, we do labor, delivery, and postpartum. With that is a complete package. We do birth certificates, we do AOPs, Social Security card. So everything a family needs. And we also do postpartum care up to 6 weeks. So everything that family needs, we provide. We even provide counseling in all of that, along with education. And so we're super excited about that. With that also comes the nutritional piece. So we talk about how important nutrition is. We also give recommendations. Everything is informed consent. So we partner with our clients on what's the best approach for them. It's not about being a cookie cutter, right? So it's not about like just standard of care. It's about informed consent of care, right? And so we just meet everyone where they are, okay? We also do anger management. We've added a component of wellness where there's detox. There's also aesthetic services. It's all things wellness, all things wellness.
That's so amazing. And it's so needed. What if somebody is calling from, can people call you even if they're not local to the Dallas area?
Absolutely. I even have some clients that I do telehealth services with that are out of state. And so that's not a problem at all. We offer teleservices virtual, right? I have a confidential system that allows me to do that. And I work with clients all over in many different states. So it's global.
That's amazing. And I also happen to know that Dr. Cheryl Edinburgh
is an amazing speaker and will come speak to your organization. If you want to hire Dr. Edinburgh, contact us at motivatingradio.com and we will tell you how to get Dr. Edinburgh to come speak to your organization and elevate your organization.
Thank you. Thank you for joining Elevate with Dr. Cheryl Edinburgh on Motivating Radio.
Motivating Radio. I feel great. You are listening to Motivating Radio. Motivating Radio. Powerful tools, informative discussions, winning strategies. Your community for powerful change. Motivating Radio. Invite Dr. Cheryl Edinburgh to speak with your organization. Call 214-973-4067 or email shad@motivatingradio.com. Motivating Radio, your source for I Feel Great information. Thank you for listening to This is Motivating Radio. You are listening to motivatingradio.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe.